over this last little while, kind of took a different little turn, and that in saying as a gift from the leadership and that to the church, our desire and our prayer is that each and every one of us would live light and free. Jesus says in his word, whom the Son sets free is free. But yet there's many Christians that don't walk free. They're bound by anger, they're bound by bitterness, they're bound by hurt, bound by wounds, bound by pain from yesterday, bound by tragedies and everything else under the sun that's listed. And yet the Bible says, he says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. See, there's some groundwork that God gives us of things that we need to do. I know there's teaching out there that says, you know, Jesus did it all, I don't have to do anything, and that he did it for me. Yeah, the Bible doesn't give it that way. That sounds really good, especially if you don't want to do anything. Right? It sounds pretty good for that. But reality is, he says, every one of his promises in the Word says, if you do this, then I'll do this. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not because God can't do it. But it's because he wants our participation. He wants that act of faith. He wants that part inside of us to dare enough to believe again, to dare enough to speak out that God can do it, that he actually cares, that he's here. And so we've been walking through a Greek word from the New Testament. It's shared over 100 times in the New Testament. This word is called sozo, S-O-Z-O. And basically all the word means, and it's used in many different places in Scripture all over, but it's translated to English because the Greeks were very flavorful with their words. And that it's translated that God's saying, hey, I want you sozo. I want you saved. I want you whole. I want you delivered. I want you free. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. The Bible tells us you can shram wrap. Take the whole Bible, shram wrap it down into packages and into two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. I think I maybe didn't add one of them right in there. And love your neighbor as yourself. So you got two pieces there, right? In that part is, how can you love the God with all your heart if your heart is divided? If we're sectioning off parts of our heart and say, okay, God, you can have this, but there's a no-go area. It's too painful, or this is my throne, this is my area where I'm in control. You can have control of all of this. How we love God with all our heart, with all of our mind, when all of a sudden the enemy, he loves to play with our mind, does he not? Putting lies in our head. He's so sly. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. And so he comes in behind our head and he whispers, psh, 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 psh. And all of a sudden this thought comes into our head, and then he comes around and he wags his finger and say, oh, you dirty little rotten person, how dare you think this? And I can't believe he did this. Yet he's the one that planted it there. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not all the devil. Sometimes it's us, we watch things we shouldn't watch. We're around people that are sharing and talking negative or gossiping or whatever to us. We're around people that, and we're participating with stories and lies and other things that we shouldn't, and we should be standing and say, whoa, you know what, that person's not here, we're not going to talk about that. Whoa, this is not so good to watch, I'm going to shut it off. Whoa, it's not good to listen to, and that we're going to. And we all of a sudden we start guarding ourselves. It's not legalism. It's not relation. It's about a relationship. With my wife, I guard myself. I guard myself to say, you know what? Hey, I'm putting blinders on here. Right? It's not that there's not beautiful women out there, but it's that she's the most beautiful. Because she's the one God gave me. She's the one that God said, hey, Phil, in order you to be the man that I called you to be, you will never be that man without her. Because I've given giftings in her and I've given weaknesses in her that are going to spur you on to be that person you've called to be, and vice versa, you into her. So I put blinders on. And that to say, whoa, wait a second here. No, I'm not going to focus any other direction. Why? Because I know that I know. The problem is, as many of us, we've made many decisions on our own. So then we second guess them. God, is that really what you wanted? Right? Or we haven't talked to God for a while, and so we kind of forgot that, you know, God said, yeah, this is what to do, but we kind of distracted ourselves from things, and we forgot that he was the one that actually said to do it. Because if God's called you to marry this one, God's called you to do this job, God's called you to this, he will equip you for everything you need. Now, don't get me wrong, because I know some people have taken this the wrong way before. Well, they use it in this, well, God never really called me to be with this person, and that, you know, I never really talked to him, so now I can let go of them and I can go on. No, not at all. The moment you said, I do, the moment you said, God, I bless, would you bless this marriage, then he's blessed it. Whether he intended for you to be, it's like King Saul. God never wanted King Saul. We've got to understand that. He never wanted King Saul. He says, I want to be your king. Let me be your king, God says. I want to be that to you. I want to be that. And everyone's like, no, no, no. We want someone we can touch. We want someone right here with us. And God's like, I'm here. Have I not shown you? And finally, he says, okay, here. All right, fine. I'll give you the best of the best, which was Saul. And then we watch Saul get corrupted. And we watch Saul kind of move off. Why? Because absolute power corrupts. Right? And God's saying, hey, you can't handle all of this. That's why we return the glory and the praise back to him as much as we can. That's why we echo our testimonies back out. Why? And that it's not because of a false humility. It's because we understand the Bible says we're just not made to carry that kind of glory. We're not made to carry that kind of praise for ourselves. And that's why we return it back to him. And we give it all back to him. So in that part of walking through this, we started talking a little bit about walls. Walls that we build up to defend ourselves. Someone said something. Someone did something. Oh, no one is ever going to hurt me again. No one's ever going to do that again. No way I'm going to, and we build this wall. And it starts maybe between a person or between an issue or a situation. But what happens is that wall just keeps building and building and building. Well, what we don't understand is when we build walls up between each other, we're really building a wall up between us and God. And then we turn around, and this is where I really find it hard as a pastor sometimes. I listen to people over and over again say, I don't hear God. I haven't heard God for years. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Something's wrong. Because the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And if you're a believer in Christ, you can hear God. And I'm not saying just through the pastor or just through some other person, but you can hear God. Sometimes we're just chalking it up to luck. We're chalking it up to coincidence. We're chalking it up to something else. But at the end of the day, if we just pause long enough and we encourage one another, then we'll find out, wait a minute, God, you've been speaking to me all along. You ever done that? Those pictures as a kid with all the dots on it, and then you go 1 to 2, 2 to 3, right? And you all of a sudden it paints this beautiful, you get this picture, and at first you're like trying to look to see what it is. Some people are really good, and they can look and say, oh, well, that's a clown. Oh, that's this. But most of us, we got to do a couple lines anyways, and then once we get going so far, then we can start, oh, that's what it is. Well, God wants to connect some dots for you. He wants to connect some dots for you. And the way that he connects the dots is he wants to redeem some of those hurtful moments in your life. He wants to redeem some of those moments in your past. Maybe others have done to you, or maybe you have done. He wants to redeem it so that it doesn't have a hold of you anymore. So that it can return now as part of your testimony instead of part of a curse of your life that you just put under the carpet and hope goes away. We all have stuff in our life that we wish we never did. some before we knew Christ, some after we knew Christ. But God's the redeemer of everything. And he wants to redeem those hurtful moments. He wants to redeem those painful moments. He wants to redeem those things in our life where we feel like we lost. I shared before about my grandfather. He was like my best friend. I kid you not. I had a lot of friends growing up, as many people did. But my grandfather and that and I were inseparable. He lived in my home, and that for my main formation of my life, and that as they moved in, my mom and dad brought him into the home to help care for them, and my grandfather and I did everything. Like, he taught me how to siphon a gas out of a tank, and that one mouthful at a time, and that, you know, he taught me, you know, he'd turn around and say, hey, and that go mow the lawn. I mean, I never touched a lawnmower before. Why? Because my dad thought all of us four boys would kill each other if we were playing with those things. And so my grandfather's like, yeah, there's the mower, go mow the lawn. So I'm out there mowing the lawn, and I think I was like five at the time, and I'm pushing the mower. Thing was heavy, and that especially because he had a little bank there, and I'm pushing it, and I'm just heaving. I've got my shoulder on that, heaving the thing. And then I remember at the age of 9, 10, and 11, we had the 2.5-story building of my dad's workplace, but there were bigger ceilings than normal. And so we had like 4 staging on the side of a hill, scaffolding, staging, I can't remember, everyone calls it different things, and that we built it up 4 high, had to put little eye bolts into the house, the siding, and tie it off, and then he did this makeshift wooden little thing, because it was like 2 feet where there was nothing on this end, so we built this little rickety thing. He says, okay, Phil, get up there and scrape the wall down. So at age 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm up there scraping away. He's down there sitting down. You're doing a good job up there. Go to the right. You know, and the whole thing's shaking as the wind's going. I mean, we did everything together. And then 2 weeks before my wedding, and that he was getting ill, I went down to visit him, and he put on his happy face. Everything's okay. I'm going to be okay. You know what? I think I'm going to be able to make your wedding. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I leave there. I make it back up to Ontario. I was at Bible college, and I was just finishing up and just last minute ditch effort getting, you know, working crazy hours to try and pay off the ring for my wife and all those things that we all do. And then 2 weeks before, my grandfather passed away. Like, it took me 2 to 2.5 years before I listened to the tape be like an MP4 now. To listen to the MP4 and that of my grandfather's funeral. 2.5 years, I just couldn't. Every time I'd look at it, something inside of me would just gut wrench. And I just couldn't. And then all of a sudden, God started to speak into my heart. He says, Phil, I want to redeem this. Because I started to stop thinking about my grandfather. Why? Because I get that gut wrench. And the enemy just took an amazing life with my grandfather and summed it up in one hurtful one moment, one loss, one pain, one moment, and he gut wrenched me there that I got stuck. And then God all of a sudden started to speak into my heart, and he redeemed that for me. I can talk about my grandfather. I listen to that tape, and that I go back to the memories and the moments. I can even go back to that moment I was in the hospital and him whispering to me and showing the front that everything's okay. And I can laugh and chuckle now and say, you crazy guy, that's what he did to me all the time, all these crazy things, and he'd always put on this front. And I remember all those things now, and the enemy has no hold on it anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I feel the loss? Do I still sense it? Absolutely, but it doesn't have a stickiness to it anymore. I'm okay now. Why? Because now I remember now all those good moments and all the things, and that's what floods my soul. And then I'm at peace and rest because I know where he's going to be. You see, in that part is when we come to there, God wants to redeem these things for us. So we talked about those walls, and I just really encourage you, you can go to rocklift.org under and sermons, and you can catch up on that part. But I really encourage you, take down the walls. It's not worth it. out in the lobby, there's a yellow piece of paper that talks about a forgiveness prayer, and on the back, biblical forgiveness. I encourage you, grab a hold of that if you don't have it, and that put it somewhere so you can walk and you can sozo, you can walk through that part. And that forgiveness is not, it's not an option. It's not an option. But understanding what true biblical forgiveness is will set you free. Why? Because my body, my mind, and my emotions don't have to feel it. I don't got to wait for them to get in line. In fact, I'm going to do like King David and talk to myself. It's okay to be a little schizo at times. And I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, that's enough thinking that way. It's enough stinking thinking. Why are you downcast, oh my soul, as David would say? You're not leading me anymore. I've died to my flesh, and now I'm born again of the Spirit. So I need you to lead me, Holy Spirit. So would you speak into my heart? See, the only way to break a lie is to speak a truth. Only way to break a lie. Only way to break a curse is to speak a blessing. So today, I want to speak some blessing. I want to speak some blessing. I want to speak blessing as we walk out of 1 year and we come into the next year. We'll talk about some doors, rights of access we give later. We'll talk some about that so we can get free and we can shut the door. Shut the door, keep the devil in the dark, shut the door. I don't know, it was a song I used to sing as a kid. And that, but anyways, on that part is that we can shut the door. The Bible says, don't give the devil even a foothold. I don't know about you, I had three older brothers and they would chase me down. I would get against the door and try and close it. They'd stick their foot in the door. I was hooped. If they got their foot in that door, I was done for. Why? Because they would just sit there forever. Until I got so tired, I'd walk away from the door, then they'd open it up, and then I'd get it. Same thing that the devil does. Be sure your sins will find you out. The only way that you can be free is that we repent. We turn. We expose those sins in our life and say, you know what, God, I don't want to cover it up. I need your help. God, would you come and help me? Would you forgive me? And would you come and restore me? God shuts the door, and the devil doesn't have a foothold anymore. So we'll talk a little bit about that because it's so important in our life. But before I do, I want to talk just a little bit about some blessings in different stages of our life that we need. And that our goal really here at Rockcliffe with the leadership and my heart is that we really want to help people. Want to help people be free. Now, I can't make anyone be free. I can't push anyone to be free. It's voluntary. We partner with Holy Spirit. God is the same way. He will not force anyone. He will not push anyone. And that, but he says, hey, this is where I'm going. Will you come along? This is what I want to do in your life. Will you partner with me? And that we want to connect people with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but you cannot have God in your life without Jesus. Amen? But you'll never have Jesus unless Holy Spirit reveals him to you. It's this partnership that God talks about in Scripture over and over and over and over again that we need. And that Holy Spirit is with me 24/7. Jesus says, it's good for me to go. Because if I go, I'll send a comforter that will be with you 24/7. And we want to see people set free, healed from past emotions, strongholds, brokenness and the lies. And we want to see doors closed on the enemy by replacing them with truth. It's not easy, and we know it. But yet God shows things in our personal lives that he wants access to. It's not only so he can release us and build you up in him and that, but he wants to lift you. He wants to build. He wants you to become all that he created you to be. He wants you to walk in the fullness of his purpose and his glory for your life. The real question comes is, will we let him? Listen though, before I start with these blessings, I want you to know the blessings are already yours. It's not something that, oh, wow, I'll grab a hold of that. Oh, wow. No, no, they've always been yours in Christ. And that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So every blessing that would ever come from heaven is already yours in Christ. You're not excluded. You're not deleted from a list because of a last name or any other distinction we might put there. If you're a believer in Christ, every promise is available to you. Every blessing is already there for you. It may surprise you, but God has already provided you with all these blessings. He's just waiting for you to pull them down from heaven to earth. He's just asking you to partner and believe by faith. This is a gift. It's not a reward. So just a few. I'm just preambles helping us understand a few things about blessings from God. It's a gift. It's not a reward. Let me pause. People, I gave $10. God, you owe me $10. Or, you know, if you're believing a tenfold, some people said, I gave 100. God, you owe me 1,000. It's not a reward. God's not rewarding us, oh, because you do this and you did this and you did this for me. Wow, that's a lot of time and effort and energy. You know, I'm going to give you a bonus as a believer in Christ. I'm going to give you a bonus because, you know, you've been a really nice person and you're kind of higher up on that, not on the naughty list, but on the nice list. I'm going to reward. No. It's not a reward. And that it's a gift. God wants to give you good gifts. If your mother and father and others will give you a good gift, how much more would he want to give you? He's a personal God. Numbers chapter 6, 23 to 27, he says, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall you put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. All parents, grandparents. And that Bible says, train a child in the way of the Lord, and they won't go far from it. Put his name on them, and he will bless your kids. Even if they're goofs, he'll bless them. Right? Call it forth on your spouses. Call it forth on your coworkers and your friends. God, would you just come? God, I just declare a freedom. I declare, Lord, righteousness over. I declare, Lord, salvation over my friend. God, would you just come around him right now? I put my shield of faith out to help block some of those fiery darts that are hitting them so that you can come. And would you bless him? God, bless my enemy. No greater thing you can pray for your enemy than God to bless him. One of the things that he'll do right away is he'll open their eyes to the fact that, whoa, I'm hurting someone, and that's not good. He'll bless them with revelation. Pray blessing over those that curse you. Pray blessing over your enemies, and watch what God will do in the middle of it. God's ways are different than our ways. We got to get that. He's just not the same as us. He says, turn the other cheek. You kick me, I'm kicking you back. He says, no. Turn the other cheek so that my love might flow. Turn the other cheek so that now I can get a hold of it. God, he says, forgive. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Everyone will get their just reward. What you sow, you will reap. He says, so let me be God. Stop playing God. And do it my way and forgive and trust in me. Lean not in your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make the path straight for you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Remember, these are spiritual issues. Therefore, we need spiritual tools. Forgiveness is not a physical act. It betrays out in the physical, but it starts in the spiritual. It's a spiritual act. And that's why we need God's help to forgive someone. That's why it's hard to do it on our own. And if we're leaning on our own self, we can put it off forever. And we can justify why we don't have to. But when we lean on him, he'll give us the strength so that we can forgive them, so that we no longer become a prisoner, but we become set free. And we release setting them free. What you sow, you reap. The Bible says if you can't forgive your man whom you do see, you'll shut down God from forgiving you. What you sow, you reap. Sometimes we wonder why we got things in our life and why things are going on around us is because that's what we're sowing to other people. Love never fails. Galatians 3:3 challenges us all. If we could only start the journey called salvation in the Spirit, if we could only start it in the Spirit, you can only finish in the Spirit. Galatians 3:2-4, before that it says this in the Message. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin with, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? Is it not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep it up? If we keep trying to do it in our own abilities, in our own strength, our own way, our own timing, the broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road of God, I'm going to trust in you. You are my guide. You are my way. I'm going to trust you. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair. It's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for me. Because no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. So God, if this is right for you, it's right for me. Because I want to be next to you. Because when the chips fall, there's no one else I'd rather be standing next to than beside him. Amen? So, let's get to the blessings. There's seven stages of life. Seven stages of life. There's conception. There's pregnancy. Birth. Early childhood. Teen years. Adult. And the senior years. So seven stages of life that most people would classify and break things down. Well, in those seven stages of life, there's some major questions that needed to be answered to help us understand who we are and our identity and moving forward. In the first stage of conception, the question is, really needs to be, am I welcome in this world? We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Pregnancy. During pregnancy, the biggest question is there a safe place for me in this world? Birth. Will my needs be met in this world? Early childhood. Who can I trust in this world? Teen years. Do I have what it takes to make it in this world? These are things that echo in the hearts of during these seasons of our lives that need to be settled. In the whole idea of conception, am I welcome in this world? If there's a whole traumatic thing going on, listen, the very first organ to be developed in a young baby is their ears. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. They hear everything. And if there's a lot of turmoil, I didn't want this kid. I didn't, oh my goodness. Or tragedy or other stuff. Those things are settling into that little heart, into that little mind. And then we wonder why some people move into life and that wondering, am I even welcome? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make all these spider web connections. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to come back to these are important questions that we need settled in our heart. And I'm telling you, the only one that can settle it is Jesus. You can chase and you can try all you want, and you'll never feel welcomed. You'll run from this place to that place, this one to this one to this one to this one, and you'll always be trying to feel welcome and always trying, but it's Christ that settles that. In the adult years, it's, what am I called to do in this world, and who will share my journey? Who's going to share my journey? And in the seniors' years, the question that echoes over and over again is, am I still needed in this world? Everything is spinning out of control. Like, technology has changed so much in the last 10 years, more in the last 10 years than it has in 100 years. Like, technology is just flippingly fast. It's just flipping around so quick. You just get a new iPhone, guess what? They got a newer one coming. And reality is, all the ones that we have are all old. They've already got two generations to come, and they're just not bringing that out because they're still making money off of us on these ones. Technology just keeps flying. Our relationship with our family and those around us reflect our relationship to Him. We need to embrace the blessings and truths released and release the lies. Blessings are stronger than curses. The way to break a curse is to embrace the blessing. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, blessing to 1,000 generations. In other words, a blessing is way stronger than a curse. Anyone can speak any curse, or we can grow up with these curses in our life, or whatever. God's bigger than it all. He proves it, and He speaks it over and over again. We just got to release the curse, and the only way to release that is embrace the blessing. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, I am setting before you today a blessing, and if you do not obey and put it into practice, a curse. If you walk away, He says, blessing or a curse. Deuteronomy 5:9-10, and that He talks about that not only for you, but for those that come behind you. In other words, today, I can embrace a blessing, break a curse, and my kids coming behind me won't have to handle the same things I had to handle. That generational thing passed down, well, my daddy used to and my granddaddy used to, it can stop with you. And if it stops with you, guess what? Now, even though they might be a little older, maybe they're growing up and on their own, if it stops with you, now showers of blessing start flowing. No longer this curse line in that area of your life, now it showers of blessing, not only to your kids, to your grandkids, and to 1,000 generations. It can start with you. It can start with you. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So let's walk through the stages really quick. Conception. Am I welcome in this world? See, God's eyes and that are on a child, and the child is alive at conception, not just at birth. Forget what media is trying to tell us and everything else. Reality is different. Science will even tell you that. Therefore, the first time you need a blessing is the moment the announcement comes that your mother is expecting. The very moment in that blessings need to flow. The seeds of rejection are often sown at conception. How you were conceived or how your parents received the news of your conception are powerful factors in shaping your sense of identity. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it was rape. Or, I think we mother to abort and get rid of. Not planned. Ungodly relationship, etc., etc., etc. Think of the first day of school or at a church, and you immediately need to recognize and be welcomed. You know, and this is a good sign of this, is what I'm trying to get at, is when you start to come in and no one shakes hands or no one does something, you go to work, you go to school, you go to church, you go somewhere else, and no one, that greeter at Walmart's just not there. And it just throws you when you go into Walmart because they're not smiling and they didn't welcome me. There's a part of rejection that the enemy is trying to play with you. And he wants to set you free. He doesn't want you to be in that place. And that feeling unwelcomed affects your entire experience afterwards. In the same way, your little being, that baby inside, needs to be warm and welcome into the world when you arrive for the first time. And when that rejection is there, it's really coming back to the part, am I welcomed in this world? Am I welcomed in this place? Am I welcomed in this family? Am I welcomed here? And if there's a spirit of rejection, it's going to be pretty hard for you to make connections. Sometimes the very thing you want and need, you actually repel. No one loves me. But yet people try to love you, but you repel it because of that rejection, that feeling you feel. You're already, I'm going to be rejected, so you already put up a wall. God wants to bring healing in that area. So I want to speak some blessing. If that's you, if you feel like, man, you know, I've been struggling in that area, or hey, I just now revelation feeling that's me, I want to speak some blessing. We bless the day of your conception. We just simply want to say you are welcome. We bless your uniqueness. You are God's choice. Out of hundreds of millions of possible combinations from your parents' DNA, God determined that you would be you. We bless the timing of your birth. You were not an accident. God created you for the first time in his purpose, so he created you exactly at the right time, regardless of human circumstances. God wants to redeem a few things this morning. We bless the destiny that was pre-planned, for your life in advance. Before the foundation of the earth, you existed in the mind and heart of God. All of your days of your life were ordained before one of them came into being, Psalms 139:16 says. May you discover the sheer joy of walking in steps with God has ordered for your life. And we bless your eternal home. The same Heavenly Father who created you is waiting to welcome you back to himself one day. May your stay on earth include a rich personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ while he prepares a place in heaven just for you. You are welcomed in this world. Despite what circumstances say, despite what anyone else says, that's what God speaks over you today. So I just pray that you embrace that. Pregnancy is the second big question. Second big time we need a blessing during those preborn child years. Is it safe? Is there a safe place for me in this world? You see, the fear factor in life taunts us even before we are born. Recent studies provide evidence of a fact most mothers perceive intuitively. The preborn children are affected by their mother's emotions, whether good or bad. The home environment and the mental, physical, and emotional states of a mother serve to answer this life's question for the baby she has not yet even met. So we want to bless that part of your lives, that there is a safe place for you. It's a safe place for you in his arms. He says he is your refuge and he is your fortress and he is your strong deliverer. There's a safe place here for you. So we want to bless your preborn days when you were uniquely crafted and specifically designed by God's purpose. We bless the formation of your body that God performed in secret while you waited to be released into the world, Psalms 139, 13 to 15. And we bless your emotional life that you may understand deep in your heart that God will always provide a safe place for you. A place of refuge on this earth from the forces that set themselves up against you. May God's perfect love displace any fears in your life. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The next area is during birth. And that will all my needs be met? You see, it's not just something at birth, but it's a reality check that we even struggle with sometimes. Are my needs going to be met? And then we go to creditors. We jump here, we jump here, we jump here, trying so desperately hard to get ourselves looked after when reality is we just dig our own hole. And we become harder and harder because it is a spiritual issue. He says, learn to be content. Paul says, I've learned to be content with a lot. I've learned to be content with a little. I'm okay because he's okay. God wants to bring contentment and a peace. Before you understand your parents' language, you learn from experience. how you were held, how you were touched, how you were fed, the words you heard, the manner in which they were spoken, taught you whether or not your needs would be met in life. So we want to speak some blessings over this area that we can struggle with in life. Maybe it's not back there. Maybe it's today. We're just struggling with this whole part. God says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So we bless the day of your birth. May you know that your needs will always be met according to the supply of the one who created you to accomplish his purpose through you. God is bigger than you ever thought. We bless your gender. You were created to be a man or a woman according to God's design. We bless your birth order. In the family in which you were given, may the timing of your arrival and your relationship with your family members be used by God to perfect you according to his will. We bless your mental growth. As you begin the process, the world around you, may your ear gates and eye gates be guarded by those who care for you and keep you in their home. We bless your spiritual journey. May it begin with a dedication to a faith community that follows Jesus Christ. May you be guarded and guided by human and angelic beings until you're old enough to make your own choices. You see, when we come to Christ, the Bible says it doesn't matter if we're 92, 52, 13, we are a baby in Christ. And he gives us siblings and father figures and mother figures and uncles and aunts and spiritual this and that around us to help develop us and to spur us on in the most holy faith. Sometimes some of those ones we thought were end up not being, and it does damage inside of us, that we all of a sudden build a wall of mistrust. Early childhood, and a child reaching out to others. Who can I trust in this world? From a toddler through a preteen, you learn which relationships are safe and which ones are not. A foundation of basic trust needs to be poured into your personality during those years for you to grow in relationship in life later. All of a sudden, you can't trust mom and dad. You can't trust your babysitter, you can't trust authority, you can't trust this, you can't trust that. All of a sudden, it shatters that whole part inside of you that all of a sudden develops walls that cause you to move into places and that are not necessarily safe for you. So who can I trust? So let's speak some blessing over that. We bless that early childhood that you may learn to trust everyone who exercises godly authority in your life. We bless your playtimes, your times with friends and family, that your mind may learn to grow to your full potential. May you be kept safe at all times. We bless your mental development, that nothing would hinder the growth of your mind to its full potential. We bless your spiritual life, that you would understand and experience what it means to walk with God at a young age. We bless your friendships. May you be guided to make wise choices in every relationship outside your family circle. How do we know? Bad company corrupts good character. You know, I had a friend who used to say, you are who you hang with. Sometimes we wonder why I'm not hearing God. It's because you're hanging out with everyone that's not hearing God. That does, don't get me wrong, God's not wanting us to all jump into a convent and hide ourselves away from the big bad wolf. Not at all. But if you don't have life givers in your life, and you're not giving out life in that part, then if you're all you're over here and you're giving, 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 it's going to have an effect on inside. Right? It's the same thing. If you work, 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 and you don't sleep and you don't eat, well, not too much longer, you're going to collapse. Why? Because it just doesn't work that way. In the teen years, puberty brings the biggest transition from conception. The next biggest transition is puberty. At the beginning of the teen years, what you need to know is, do I have what it takes to make it in this world? This question is a powerful driving force that must be answered so you can develop the kind of emotional maturity and confidence that will make it possible for you to accomplish your calling in life. If you answer and talk to high school students, grade 10, 11, 12, 90% of the Mac go the same thing. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know, is there a place for me in this world? We want to bless those teen years, that you have what it takes to fully, to fulfill everything God has called you to do. As you apprentice for adulthood, may your unique talents and gifts be recognized and stimulated in preparation for life's work. We bless your physical development, that you are content and happy in the body that God has given you as it reaches maturity. May you enjoy the health that he gives you. We bless your mental development, that you receive the necessary education and intellectual preparation for your life's work. May you appreciate both the process and the outcome of learning. We bless you spiritually, that you may have a personal encounters with the living God. You may experience consistent growth in your faith day by day. Adulthood, most of the people are here today. For the past few years, and that we've been ministering to a lot of young adults, and the question that most of them are asking is, what am I called to do in life? And reality is that question echoes into all of our hearts all the way through until it gets settled. It's not like these questions go away. If they don't get settled and we don't get that answer in there, it's like that growing up, I don't know if you grew up this way, but I grew up in that in the time of New Brunswick and the days that I grew up was, you know, can I do this? No. Why? Because. Why? Because. Why? Because. I'm like, okay, that didn't help me at all. Thank you very much. Why didn't you just tell me why? And 9 times out of 10 is because they didn't know why. If we don't answer questions through our life, it's going to become difficult. Many people are married to someone who does not share their spiritual journey. Creating and maintaining shared dreams and hopes for the future can be an elusive goal. For those who are single by choice or circumstances, God intends to provide good friends who understand and share the dream of who you are to become. God will bring people around you, right? I tell my young girls, you don't need another man. You don't need a man, not another man, sorry. You don't need a man, right? You don't need a man, right? We don't need a man. You don't need a woman. You need God. And then if God sees fit that you need a man beside you or you need a woman beside you, then he'll bring them with you. But first, put your trust in him. So we want to bless your adult identity and the destiny in this world. May you discover and fulfill the purpose for which God sent you to this earth. May you meet and marry God's perfect choice as a life partner. We bless your relationship if you're married, that God would lead you to those who can mentor you in your relationship, as well as those who need to receive from you what you have been given. May you never be without meaningful friendships. We bless your marriage. What God has joined together, may no one separate. We bless your children, if you have children, that the generational blessings upon your family line will be passed on to them. May each child provide breadth and depth of your own life experience. And may each one share your values and life and experience a personal walk with God themselves. We bless your working hands, that your industry and labor will bring the abundance necessary to provide for your family and to sow into the lives of others. We bless your finances, that you may never have to get by without God's supply. May you always discern and obey the requirements for financial blessings from God. May you live securely without need or fear of want. We bless your health, that you may physically prosper and not succumb to sickness. May you prosper physically, even as your soul prospers. And we bless your Christian witness, that you would carry with you the fragrance of Christ in all that you do. May your character and lifestyle be a witness of the truth of God's promise, and may you have many opportunities to share your personal faith and bear much fruit as you continue to abide with him. Let me close with the senior years. With the senior years. Everyone who's reached the senior years needs to know that they are still needed. You are still needed. You are valuable. And that question that echoes in those years is, am I still needed in this world? In biblical times, elders would stop working in the fields. They would take up positions of honor at the city gates. This was a place of honor, a rest and return from all their life's work. Here at Rockland, we say all the time that, hey, God intends us to retire from all the worldly things. The job and all those stuff. And we live in a great country that gives us pensions through our work and through our government that helps us to even rest in that part. And as we understand to learn to rest from those things, what it does is it opens up a whole new world for us. That now we have many opportunities, more time, more ability to be able to reach out to people. Will it look different? Every stage of life will always look different. But there is a place for you in this world. So we want to bless you in your senior years that you may continue to find a place of significance and purpose in this world. May you discover that you are needed and wanted by those of us who follow after you. We bless your life's work. May you receive the appropriate honor for your years of labor. May your contributions to the kingdom of God on this earth be recognized and blessed. We bless your health and that your strength will match the length of your days, Deuteronomy 33:25. We bless your relationship with your children that they may rise up and call you blessed. As you become less able to look after your own needs, may they be more available to care for yours. I don't know about you, but I tell my kids all the time, hey, I changed your bum. You're going to change mine when I get to that time. Right? May the blessings flow to you. Even if there's a strain in your relationship. May pause. If there's a strain in the relationship with your kids, in the name of Jesus Christ, we break that curse and we now speak blessing over it. Grab a hold of the blessing and then partner with that blessing and watch what God will do. God wants to redeem everything. He wants to redeem everything. And last, we bless your life transition from working in the fields to sitting in the gates. May you be sought out for wisdom and counsel so that your hard-earned insights will benefit many in the years and generations to come. Remember, everything we do, everything we say is unto the Lord and for his glory. So we need to pause and say, is what I'm thinking right now, what I'm saying, what am I doing, is it lifting up the Lordship of Christ or is it not? If love doesn't win out, then something's wrong. Something's out of place. There's a problem. There's a wall. There's a barrier. There's a door open that needs to be closed because love never fails. And remember, a little leaven affects everything. A little bit of sin affects everything. So practice sozoing yourself daily. Practice keeping a short account, picking up your cross, denying yourself, and following him. God is wanting you to prosper. He's wanting you to fulfill all that he's asked you to do, all that he's created you to do. Even if you blew it for sections of life, it's okay. Ask God to redeem it, and God will give you another opportunity. Might look different, might be different, because it's a different time of life. But it's never too late to partner with him. It's never too late to embrace him. And it's never too late to ask him to redeem something. Even if we don't get back what we thought we lost, even if it doesn't turn out the way that we wanted it to turn out, you'll be free. And you'll be right where God intended you to be. Because Jesus has come to set you free. We can live light. We can live free. There is peace that will not elude you. There is rest. And there is joy. And it's all found in him. Jesus, I ask right now, Lord, as we've gone a little over, as we've walked through some blessings, God, I pray like that woman with the issue of blood, Lord, that we would push through and grab a hold of that blessing that we need it right now into our life, so that whether it be rejection or fear, whether it be worry or concern or anxiety or whatever it might be that triggers us to get us set off track, to throw our vision off, God, that you would restore that unto us, Lord, right now. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, for relationships that have been strained. God, we just ask you to redeem that. Even if it was our fault. God, Lord, we ask you to redeem that. Lord, we ask you to transform us so that we can change a curse to a blessing. God, a lie to truth. God, Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, that we can't do those things, but your help, Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know it's not easy. If it was, everyone would do it, because it only makes sense. But we know it's not easy. So in those days where it's tough, Lord, in those days where we just don't feel like it, would you give us that guidance, that strength? Would you give us that push, that nudge? Because we know he that began a good work in our lives, he will complete it. We know you're not finished with us yet. So, Lord, as you're patient with us, may we be patient with ourselves as we partner with you. And I thank you right now, God, for what you're doing in each and everyone's life. I just declare your freedom. I declare your blessings. I declare your truth to be released in like a tidal wave over our lives today. And God, Lord, even if it's just something seed planted and in the days ahead it will come back to an aha moment, Lord, that we would come to our senses and grab a hold of it so that we can be free. God, I thank you for what you do, and I bless each and every one. As we look back to 2019, we say thank you, God. God, thank you, Lord, for the good, the bad, and ugly, because it shaped me into who I am today. And God, wherever there's stickiness from last year, wherever there's something that gets me focused so much on that I can't let go of, God, would you come and set me free in those areas? Would you come and redeem those areas so as I move into 2020, I will have 2020 vision. And Lord, that you will put me onto a new plane. You will put me onto a new position, Lord. I'll come alive and awaken you and be able to see all that you have ahead of me. God, if you be for us, who and what could be against? So Lord, I thank you right now for all you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. We love you. And that, and we just encourage you. And that as you walk out of this place, remember, you're heading into the mission field. And that, so be that light. And that shine bright before men so that they'll see your good deeds, that God might be glorified and lifted up. God bless you. We love you lots.